Well, we were blessed this morning to hear Dr. Gibbs, and it's so kind of him to give the time out of the schedule to come here. And let me just give you this word. I've called CLA many times over the years, and some for professional reasons, other times just calling to check about a meeting or something. But every time, they've always, from every person that answered the phone to the person they connected me to, have always had the same heart. And what can we do to help? It is our pleasure to get to serve you. What can we do? And here I am saying, no, you're helping us. And they say, no, you're helping us. And so it's from Dr. Gibbs all the way down to everybody that labors there with the ministry. They have such a wonderful testimony, a great spirit, and God has raised up a wonderful work there. And so it's always a joy. You say, well, they answer that way to you because you were calling on behalf of the church. I didn't tell them where I was calling from. I was testing them to make sure. They were nice, even though they didn't know it was me. Now, I wasn't doing that. But long before they found out that we were calling about a meeting, even when we called and we just had needs, and they've helped us on so many different things, and it's always been the same response. It's a pleasure to get to help you. What can we do? We want to be there for the church. And so I'm so grateful that churches like ours has a ministry like this, and they've been a great blessing, not only to us, but so many thousands of people. And it's a real privilege to get to have Dr. Gibbs here. And so, Dr. Gibbs, thank you again for coming to Buffalo Ridge. You're certainly a favorite here, and we are gracious. We're so thankful that you graciously came again to be with us here at Gray, Tennessee.
Thank you, Pastor. What an honor to be here. And thank you again for your grace to us. We have a ministry because God's people grace us with the privilege of doing it. And remember, the privilege of life is serving, not being served, but serving. Jesus said the greatest among you would be the servant of all. I wonder who the greatest man in this room is. I wonder who the greatest lady is. I wonder who the greatest young person is. I can promise you it's not me, because there's servants in this room that are way better servants than I am. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. My precious wife, every time we go to church together, we pray in the parking lot before we go in and get ready for the service. And she always says the same thing. She says, there's somebody in there, Lord, that I want to serve. I just don't know who they are. Give me something to do to serve. That's what the Lord is looking for. Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. A young man was born in Scotland. His name was Alan Redpath. And Alan Redpath became a great preacher, mightily used of God all over Scotland and England, then New York City, and finally came to Chicago and was pastor of the Moody Church for many years there. And Alan Redpath had his life divinely touched by his pastor when his pastor gave him a statement for life. He said, Alan, be careful that you don't have a saved soul, but a wasted life. A saved soul, but a wasted life. You're heaven bound. Nothing can change that. The devil can't unravel that. You have a saved soul, but a wasted life that's been tied to it. That's the devil's master strategy. And what I've discovered in my life and in the lives of all the people we see in these lawsuits, what the devil's strategy is to get you wasting your life. Now, you're heaven bound. I mean, the day you close your eyes here, you're going to open it in heaven. You're going to be with Jesus forever. But he has something for you to do here. A wasted life, saved soul, wasted life. Let's read what the scripture has to say as Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's start at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now that's a command. That is something that every one of us has to obey. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart. The word depart there was the word for getting away something decisively, getting away from it quickly, determinatively. God says, what I want you to do, anything that's iniquitous, I want you to get away from it. The word iniquity means more than just what's wrong. It means what you're not sure is right. It means what you're not positive is of value for you to get closer to God. God says, whatever you do, get rid of anything that's iniquitous. Get it out of your life. That's one of the wonderful things about this church and the passion of your pastor and his precious wife. They have a passion to see that we get away from something that doesn't draw us closer to the Savior. We're saved, but we don't want that wasted life. And God says, I'm commanding you, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. My family, when we would sometimes rent property especially, we were going to plant on it, but it had to be mowed down before we could use it. And I was out on my dad's brush hog. How many of you know what a brush hog is? Hold your hand up. If you've never been on a brush hog, you've missed one of the great privileges of life. Brush hogs are just fun. If the tractor can push it over, the brush hog can chop it up. Well, I'm out there brush hogging away, and the trash that we're picking up in the brush hog is going out the back, but it's also flying up and hitting me in the back of the head. So I took my jacket, my dungaree jacket, and I pulled it up over my head. And I can feel it hitting me back there, but that's no problem. Finally, one of my dad's workers, Earl, came running up by me, and he said, David, stop, 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 stop. I said, what's the matter, Earl? He said, look at your back, look at your back. What I didn't know was I was going over thousands and thousands of spider mounds, the nastiest looking spiders you've ever seen. The kind that are about the size of a grapefruit. And you can see their teeth and their eyes. And they're yellow and red with black dots on them. On my back, coming up in that trash, were hundreds of spiders. And when Earl said, look at your back, I went like this. I said, well, now, Earl, will you look at those spiders? Aren't they amazing? That's not what I did. I departed. I decisively got away from it. Man, I jumped off that tractor. I started brushing myself, getting that stuff off of me. I wanted nothing to do with what was on my back. God says, that's the spirit I want you to have tonight. Let everyone who names the name of Christ make a decisive move to get away from anything that's iniquitous. A saved soul, but a wasted life. But then look at verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, I have verse 20 underlined in my Bible. That's a frightening verse. What that means is that we can be saved, but some of us are not honorable to the Savior. There's in a great house vessels of gold and of silver, but some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what's iniquitous? He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Wow. If the Lord needed to use somebody tonight, could he use you? Could he use me? Are we prepared unto every good work? I've often told the story because I'll never forget it. A pastor picked me up one day at my motel room. We're on our way to the airport, and he says, there's a lady in our church that just wants to say hello to you. And would you mind if we stopped at her house and you signed her Bible and you just said hi? And I said, well, preacher, I'm a little tight on time, but sure, I'll be glad to do that. We went to this house and we parked our car out front on the street. And the minute we got out of the pastor's car, there was an odor in the air I could smell. It was a smell of something decaying. And the preacher said, do you smell that? I said, yeah, I do. He said, what is that odor? I said, well, I grew up on farms. I said, that's the smell of dead animals. That's what that is. Something's rotting around here. And I said, look at those hawks circling up there. They're circling looking for something. He said, well, Brother Gibbs, I got a really squeamish stomach. He said, I'm not really up to that kind of stuff. I said, well, come on, rise up, O man of God. We'll make it. The closer we got to their house as we walked up the pathway, he started saying, boy, this is really getting to me. I'm getting queasy. I said, no, come on, you'll be all right. Keep going. And the closer we got to the house, the stronger the odor was. I mean, it was the kind of odor you could taste. Have you ever smelled something so strong that you can taste it as well as smell it? And I said, preacher, there's some really decaying around here. We were just up by their porch and a young man came flying out the screen door. Stop, stop, stop. Don't go up on the porch. You'll fall in with all the dead cats. And the preacher said, did he say dead cats? I said, yeah. And boy, that preacher got really sick. He got his hanky out. And he's going, boy, I don't know if I can do this. I said, come on, we're going to be okay. I said, stay right here. Let me go look at, see what's up here. There were holes in the porch and I walked up by it and you could look down in it. There were dead cats everywhere and rats were eating on them. That was all the odor. The preacher said, what are you looking at? I said, come up here. You're not going to want to miss this. How many of you know when you got something good, you want to share it? He came up and looked and went, whoop, 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 whoop. The young boy said, go around back, don't go up there, you'll fall in with the dead cats. I thought, what kind of people live like this? How did they ever get comfortable with this amount of defilement? How in the world? We walked around the back of their house, walked in by their kitchen. And when the young boy opened the screen door, I was amazed. The kitchen was filthy, absolutely filthy. There were cockroaches everywhere. And when we opened the door, they didn't run. You can tell when cockroaches own something, they stake their territory. I said, preacher, look at this. And I said, you notice our feet are sticking to the floor? This floor has not been cleaned in forever. Cockroaches everywhere. And the boy said, I'll go get my mom. I'll go get her. Now we're looking at the kitchen. There are filthy pots and pans with scum on them there. And I'm looking over on the side and there's a piece of meat that has mold growing on it, white mold. And I walked over by it and I got my pen out and I thought, how in the world have they got moldy meat here? And I took my pen and I lifted it up a little bit. It was full of maggots. I said, preacher, come here. You're not going to want to miss this. You want to see this one. And he walked over by me and went, bleh, 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 bleh. This place was unusable. Now the lady of the house came and she said, oh, thank you for stopping. And I never forget her first one. She said, if I had known you were coming, I'd have cleaned up a little bit. And all I could think was the only thing that could help this place is a good fire. Now she started talking to us and she said, I'm so thankful I wanted you to sign my Bible. I said, well, I'll be glad to do that. And she said, Brother Gibbs, I know you love coffee. And she said, I have a special coffee pot that has its own lining. We never wash it. and it puts a special flavor on the coffee. And she picked up a coffee pot out of the sink and started smacking it, and crud came out everywhere. Now the preacher jumped in and said, "Yeah, Brother Gibbs loves coffee. Make sure you make him a big cup." I said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. You probably are not aware of this, but I gave up coffee. I don't drink it anymore." And right then and there I did. I gave it up for a minute. No one in their right mind would want to use anything in that house. You wouldn't want to use anything in that kitchen. It was defiled. It was not ready for use. Now we come to God. "Here I am. Bless me. Use me." And God says, "I want to. But you've got to get clean. You got to get prepared for the master's use. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." When's the last time you got clean? Not cleaner, clean. Wow. My wife has so helped me with this. She'd say, "Honey, let's get clean. Let's get ready so God can use us." Now I want you to drop down to chapter 3, because Paul, writing to Timothy, is about to tell us something here that's critical for the day in which we live. He says, "Timothy, there's going to be 19 sins that are going to invade. 19 sins that are going to just wash over the earth. And they're going to wash into the church. And these sins are so deplorable, I want you to be careful that you stay away from them. And that's why I'm telling you what these 19 sins are." And in chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, these 19 sins are listed. And God says, "Whatever you do, depart. Get away from these, turn away from them." Now let's read what they are. "This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Have you turned away from these 19 sins? He says, remember, they're going to have a form of godliness. They're saved. They're heaven-bound. But they've got a wasted life wrapped up in it. And he says, from such turn away. I've picked 6 of these sins tonight for just a minute. And I want you to mark them in your Bible, because if you would listen to our phones at the Christian Law Association, you see these 6 sins rampant everywhere. And these 6 sins, by the way, have invaded every one of our lives. It's the day in which we live. I want you to mark them in your scripture. Here's the first one. He said they'll be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. You know what that means? We want to be pampered. "Lord, I don't want anything challenging. I don't want anything difficult. I don't want any test that would really be a problem. I want the easy route. Because I love you, Lord, but I really love me. And I'm looking for something comfortable. I just want more money in my 401k. I just love me and I want the good life, what we call the American dream. Now, never mind that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We sing the song, Onward, Christian Soldiers, marching us to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. But when's the last time you said to the Lord, give me a challenge? Give me something for your honor, for your glory, Father, that I could do to make heaven look good to this world? Or do we just love ourselves too much to want the easy route, the easy path? Lovers of our own selves, pampered. I was in the Orient, and we were at a large meeting there. It was with very poor people, very poor. We were the only people at this meeting out of several thousand who had shoes. The people there couldn't afford shoes. And all these Christians came, and it was a great meeting. And three mothers walked up to me and said, can I ask you a question about America? I said, sure, what? They said, we don't think this is true, but is it true in America you pay people to cut your fingernails? You don't cut them yourself? You pay for it? That's not true, is it? I said, yes, some people do. They said, really? Wow. And I said, let me tell you something. We're pampered. We're just pampered. We want to be comfortable. We want to be taken care of. We don't want to be the person having to take care of somebody. We want to be the one taken care of. Wow. When's the last time you bowed before the Lord and said, I love you, Father, and forgive me for loving me where it interferes with my love for you? Mercy. The first sin that he mentions is people shall be lovers of their own selves. Write number two down. They're going to be covetous. Covetous. This is a really difficult sin. Because in America, we don't think covetousness is a sin. You know what covetous means? I want more. I want more. Well, how much more do you want? I don't know. More. More. I got more than I can use now, but I want more. Have you ever noticed that you can't even keep track of all the stuff you have? Have you ever tried to move and suddenly you're putting stuff in boxes and you say, I didn't even know I had that. We've got so much stuff, we've forgotten what we have, but I want more. Yeah, but at what point will you be satisfied? We're commanded by God to be content with such things as we have. You understand, covetousness, I want more, is a sin. Be content with such things as you have. When's the last time you bowed before the Lord and said, you've already given me way too much, way too much? Yeah, but I want more. And there's no end to it. I was with young people and I was asking them, what satisfies you? And they said, we don't know. We hope one day to find out. They somehow think that by getting more stuff, they'll become content. And yet God says, be content with such things as you have. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I want more stuff given to me. I want to get more stuff. I want a bigger car. I want a nicer house. I want more jewelry. I want more shotguns. I want the nicer pair of gloves. I want more. And God says, stop it. Stop it. The Bible says that we're not to love our stuff. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What do you have that you've got an affection for? God says, stop it. Stop it. Number one, I don't want you loving yourselves, he says. But number two, whatever you do, stop the covetousness. Stop it. I was with a pastor one day, and he got a brand new car. I said, boy, I'm glad you got this car, preacher. This is beautiful. He said, yeah, it's the first new car I've ever had like this. And he was showing me all the fancy things on it, all the options. I said, well, I'm glad you got it. And he says, but there's a problem with my car. I said, what's the trouble with it? He said, I think I'm starting to love it. And he said, that's a sin. It's a sin to love things. Whoa. And he said, this thing is starting to get its hooks in me. And I think I'm starting to love it, and that's a sin. And I looked at him, I said, well, if you can't handle it, give it to me. I think I can handle it. I'm spiritually mature enough. I'll be okay with it. We both laughed. I went back about a month later, working on a case with him. And he was in his old car. I said, where's your new car? He said, I gave it away. I said, you gave it away? He said, yeah. He said, David, a missionary came to our church with their children. And they were in a car that had holes in the floorboard and was all rusted out. And their car was so beat up it couldn't make it up the hill to our church. And I said, God, somebody needs to give them a new car. And he said, the minute I said it, God said, I wanted you to give them yours. And he said, I told God, no. When I said somebody needs to do it, I didn't mean me. He said, David, I went and got the keys and I took them their new car. I said, preacher, I'm hurting for you. He said, David, it only hurts to give it if you love it. If you wonder whether you love stuff, if it hurts to give it, that's that affection drawing you down. When's the last time you put your stuff on the altar and said, Lord, I belong to you and everything I have belongs to you. Number one, I don't want to love me. I want my love to be for you. Set your affection on things above. And number two, I don't want just more stuff. Lester Roloff used to say it all the time. How many of you know the name Lester Roloff? He used to say this all the time. He said, you've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. And he said, that's because the day you die, none of your stuff goes with you. It all stays here. Only what you've sent on to heaven goes with you. The first sin is loving ourselves. The second sin is covetousness. Write number three down, pride, proud. Mercy. This is an egregious sin. By the way, the Bible says in three different places, God will oppose the proud. If you have pride in your life, you got God against you. As a Christian, you got God against you. Now, no one in their right mind wants to leave this auditorium tonight with God against them. But if you've got pride in any way, shape, or form, the Bible promises you, you got God against you. Oh, mercy, fix this. He says, I will destroy the house of the proud. Now, the only way that you can get rid of pride is through humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he'll raise you up. How good are you at humbling you? The only person who can humble me for God's honor is me. The only person who can humble you is you. When's the last time you bowed at the altar and humbled yourself? and said, "Father, forgive me for thinking I'm something. Forgive me for getting proud." Pride is the sin that started the war in heaven. The devil himself, the Bible says, got proud. And that started the war that led through everything. Number one, boy, don't get this wrong, we love ourselves. Number two, we want more stuff, we're covetous. Number three, we're proud. By the way, you can tell if you got pride in your life because you'll be pretty sure everybody else has it, but you don't. Boy, I'm so thankful for a godly wife who says, "Honey, let's confess our pride, thinking somehow we're something. By the grace of God, humble yourself." Write number four down, unthankful. Unthankful. We're almost done tonight, but this sin right here is a huge one. It's one I have to battle in our ministry every day. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks." In everything give thanks. Last week, did you give thanks in everything? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If you're not giving thanks, you're totally out of God's will. I'm totally out of God's will. People called this afternoon with emergencies. And they said, "Brother Gibbs, we've got this legal emergency now. What do I do? This is a disaster." I said, "Okay, here's number one, give thanks." They say, "Do what?" I said, "Give thanks." But they say, "Wait a minute, I'm not thankful for this." No, no, no. You have to give thanks. That's a Bible command. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How good are you at giving thanks? "Yeah, but I've got some really aggravating things I'm dealing with. I've got some irritating people. I've got problems. I've got health issues. I got stuff I just want gone." There's nothing wrong with wanting it gone as long as you're giving thanks while it's there. In everything, give thanks. Now, the world says, "That's craziness. You don't want to give thanks for what's aggravating you. Don't do that." No, that's Bible. And if you wonder why we've got a saved soul but a wasted life, the easiest way to get there is by not giving thanks. Number one, we're not going to be lovers of ourselves, pampered. Number two, we're not going to be covetous. "I just want more stuff. Endless. I just want more." Number three, I'm proud, thinking I'm something. And number four, unthankful. Write number five down, unholy. 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 1 Peter 1:16. When's the last time Jesus said, "Be ye holy"? It's not a suggestion, it's a command. When is the last time you got holy? When's the last time you picked up the pieces in your life and said, "Lord, I want to be what you've commanded"? Well, I'm sure better than a lot of people, Brother Gibbs. I'm sure you are. But that's not the test. The test is to be a vessel God can use. And he says, "Here's these 19 sins that are going to invade. And it's going to make it where you're heaven bound, but the master can't use you." And he says, "Don't you be unholy." My granddad had a simple way with some things. We'd be watching something on television. He had the first one I ever saw. And he'd say, "Is this holy?" When they cuss, is that holy? How did we get comfortable with inviting unholy things into our homes? Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, it's just the day in which we live. Yes, it is. But we can make a decision here. We are not going to be unholy. Write the last one down, incontinent. I want you to circle that word in your Bible. I'm afraid most Christians read this word and don't understand the sin. We use the word incontinent today to describe health things. If someone has lost control of their bodily functions, we say they're incontinent, and that's a correct statement. But it's a sin here. You know what incontinent means? It means you got stuff that's not working and you've given up on trying to fix it. You've become comfortable with what isn't right. Well, I fixed a lot of things, but I'm not. The sin of incontinent means I'm going to leave that out of control. No, no, no. Don't you do that. That's why these services are so critical. My involvement is minor. The Word of God being here tonight is everything. God does not want you to leave here incontinent, comfortable with stuff out of control. I'm not going to be a lover of my own self, pampered. I'm not going to be covetous, I just want more. I'm not going to be proud. I'm not going to be unthankful. I'm going to give thanks in everything. I'm not going to be unholy. By the grace of God, I want my thoughts, I want my mind to be holy. Remember, whatever God commands, He'll enable. And I don't want to be incontinent. I don't want to just get comfortable with it not being there. Alan, be careful, you'll have a saved soul. You're heaven bound, but you'll waste your life. What would it take tonight for you to say, Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be one you can use. Here am I, here am I. Bow your heads. Father, we only took 6 of the 19 sins. But Father, I got to confess publicly, these 6 sure touch me. By your grace, forgive me for being pampered. And forgive us for being covetous, just wanting more stuff. Or proud, thinking we're something. Look at what we've done. Or unthankful. Unholy. Incontinent, comfortable with leaving it undone. Father, tonight we want to leave here clean. Now, the only person who can clean me, Father, is me. The only person who can touch the life of any individual here is themselves. And the devil right now is going to whisper in everybody's ear and say, yeah, you want to think about all this. Those are Bible thoughts. You want to think about it, but don't do anything now. I plead with you, don't do that. That's where the sin of just letting it be incontinent comes in. By the grace of God, you can fix it tonight. In this wonderful church, so, so passionate for the gospel and for the Word of God. David, tonight, the Lord spoke to my heart, and God helping me, I want to be clean. I want to be what Jesus can use. My heart's been touched tonight. If that's true, slip your hand up right now where you're seated. Just slip your hand up high enough for me to see it. The Lord spoke to my heart. Hold your hand up high. Just hold it up. Father, you see the hands. More importantly, you see the hearts. In a minute, we're going to open these altars. And what we do there, heaven's watching, and so is the devil. Because his master plan is to make it where we got a saved soul but a wasted life. Help us in the name of Jesus, I pray. May for the sake of our nation and our families and for the sake of our Savior, may we be what you've commanded us to be. Let's all stand together, please. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Pastor, would you come up here?
We're going to let the instruments play and let you do business with the Lord. That we would be wrong, but we could call the things that he preached against gentleman sins. That'd be totally wrong because a gentleman would not. But things that we don't necessarily immediately think of as something that we needed to get right. Oh, if he'd have railed against drunkenness and immorality and wickedness and gross sin, all of us could have said, yes, that's right. But where he hit was where oftentimes we live, and as we live there, we excuse it and just say, well, sure, everybody's like that. I'm not covetous. I'm just wanting more out of life. I'm not prideful. I'm just a strong-willed person. It's amazing what we excuse. If God's speaking your heart, I invite you to come tonight. Come to this altar and pray. Say, Lord, that's me. We did come to church to want to hear from the Lord, and sometimes then after we hear from him, we don't like what we've heard, and may it not be that way tonight. As they continue to play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come down here. Perhaps you make an altar out of your seat right there and say, Lord, that's exactly where I needed to hear. Are we content with letting things not work in our lives? Well, that's just the way I am. I have a bad temper. I've always had a bad temper, and nothing's going to change to make that bad temper any different, Lord. I'm just content letting it be that way. What a wonderful message. Let's not leave until you do business with the Lord, shall we? One last request, just because I always like to ask. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, he didn't preach specifically about that, but you know that something's working on your heart to let you know it's not right where you live. You need to be saved. Would you come? Brother Kyle or myself or somebody will deal with you and show you from the Word of God. You come. They'll play another verse. God's dealing with your heart. You come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a joy to be here tonight. And Dr. Gibbs, you want to say anything about maybe some in the room tonight that don't get the legal alert, or if you want to mention that, whatever you'd like to do.
Thank you, Pastor. And once again, thank you for the privilege and honor of allowing us to come. This church, what a great ministry. And we've been talking about you, how we love the Spirit in this church. And I hope you understand something. What's happening here is not of your making, it's of the Lord's making. Amen. The Lord's moving and doing things. And I so love your pastor and his wife and the great Spirit among the people. Watching those young people sing, that is such a joy. And by the way, if young people don't stir you, then you are really one sick puppy, okay? That was wonderful to watch tonight. We send out a newsletter every single month faithfully, and I'm begging you, let us send it to you. It's a prayer newsletter. We tell you about some lawsuits that are happening and beg you to pray for them. I promise you, if you're ever sued and your name's on that list, you'll want everybody to pray. I had a pastor's wife the other day said, our name's on the prayer list because we just got sued, and I never thought our name would be on it. And it was always us praying for others, but not like I should have, Brother Gibbs. I prayed for him sort of just a little bit. And now please have the people pray. We're fighting for our own spiritual life. Please, I beg you, pray over that prayer list. Nothing can take the place of prayer. When we get to heaven and see what prayer could have done had we prayed more fervently, we're going to be ashamed. Please, I beg you, pray for these lawsuits. Now, if you already signed up for the newsletter, you don't need to do it again. Maybe you've already been getting it, or maybe you started doing it this morning and you signed up. But if you're here and you've never gotten our newsletter, would you please let us send it to you? Ushers, come on forward with those envelopes. Brother Gibbs, I don't get your newsletter. Send it to me. I'll give you that prayer you're asking for. Slip your hand up right where you are. Just hold your hand up high enough for these wonderful ushers, these servants, to see it so that we can put an envelope in your hand and get the contact information we need to send that newsletter to you. That newsletter is prayed over and fasted over when we send it out. We desperately need your help, desperately. And please, please, as we celebrate our 250th birthday, what a marvelous thing to celebrate. But remember, the hope of America is Jesus Christ. That's the hope of America. By the way, that was why they first came here. And that's what all of this was about, was the freedom to be what God was calling them to be. So please take a good look at that. Anybody need one of those envelopes? Thank you so much for your grace. And once again, thank you for letting us come. I'm sorry to be limping around on this crutch up here. Many of you know, a while back, a couple years ago, I took a fall in North Carolina getting in a minivan, had one foot in the van and went out on wet asphalt, and my foot slipped on the asphalt and down I went. And I shattered every bone in my ankle. The doctor said, you got a Jones fracture. I said, what's that? He said, you broke every bone in your foot and ankle. You broke them all. Well, it was getting healed, and then Steve Kluth, my wonderful staff member, stepped on it and broke it again. Yeah, now he says it was an accident, okay? And he is such a gracious, gracious man of God, a gracious man of God. But it broke it again. Then it was rehealing again, and then I slept on a wet tile and broke it again. Now I'm back to the orthopedic, and he says, I'm becoming his retirement. And I said, enough of that nonsense. I'm sorry to be limping around here. You get this feeling. Do you ever step and you think there's a step there, but you can't feel anything? That's what I'm dealing with. It just makes you uneasy on your leg a little bit. Pray. And by the way, it hasn't stopped anything. We've still been, just by the grace of God, able to soldier on. And God's people have been so helpful, so helpful. Turn to your neighbor one more time and tell your neighbor right now, come on, get clean. Tell your neighbor, come on, get clean. Okay. Now turn back to him and say, I mean it, get clean. I mean it, come on, get clean. And maybe you're here and you say, Brother Gibbs, I just have nothing to clean up. Then pray for me. Pray for me. Boy, when I sit down and I start thinking about the things that I need in my own life to make better for the cause of Christ so that I can be further used, pray for me. I want to be that servant ready for the master's use. And remember, when you get sin on you, get it gone. Depart from iniquity. Get it gone. Don't get comfortable with it. Preacher, thank you. Tonight, my wife and I are going to pray for your pastor and his wife. And I want you to join my wife and I, Gloria Ann. We're going to pray for you. How many of you tonight, before you pillow your head and sleep, will take your pastor and his precious wife to the Lord and pray for them specifically for God to bless them and use them in bounty as never before? How many of you will join Gloria Ann and I in doing that? Praise the Lord. Now, if you raised your hand, you just made an appointment with God. And you blow off an appointment with me, that's no big deal, but don't you dare blow off an appointment with God. How many of you say, I'm going to keep that appointment, Brother Gibbs. I'm going to pray for our pastor. God bless you, preacher. And pray for my ankle, by the way, which, and pray Brother Steve stays off of it, okay? That's the one thing we're watching for. He's a dear man of God. Preacher, thank you.
Well, it's been a joy. Brother Steve, would you mind going back to the book table? Number one, you'll be back there, but number two, you'll be far away from Dr. Gibbs. He'll be safer up here. And then Brother Michael will take care of Brother Gibbs. He'll be up here for just a little while if you'd like to stop by and see him. But I challenge you to get some of the resources on the table. If you've yet to turn that card back in, you can get that to them at the table. But I want you to really be praying. They're doing God's work, and I'm thankful for them in this world that we live in. It's very, very necessary, and we're grateful for what the Lord has raised up. So thank you so much for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. That was...